Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. The Philadelphia Church of God Ministerial Conference for 2018 and 2019 starts next Wednesday. So I'll be talking about ministerial conferences a bit in my program on Monday at 11:30 a.m. on Behind the Work. But today we're talking about a wonderful PCG booklet titled Redefining Family. This was written by Trumpet Hour radio host Joel Hilliker. And as I was looking through this booklet and preparing for this show, I felt slightly more nervous than usual just because most people would probably consider this to be the most controversial booklet that the church offers. You'll probably see right away, chapter one is titled The Homosexual Revolution. This chapter has piles of facts and statistics. So leave aside your own personal opinions for now, and let's just look at how this really has been a revolution. It really isn't an opinion. This chapter outlines in great detail the avalanche of political, legal, cultural, educational, and even scientific events over the course of about 40 years that has led to today's acceptance of homosexuality. It's been a rapid change from the 1960s and 1970s to today. In just about four decades, public opinion on this polarizing issue has been completely reversed. Not long ago, it was about 20% of society that believed that homosexuality was acceptable, and now it is basically the opposite of that. Basically, 80% believes it's acceptable, and 20% would say it's not. I think this chapter brings out a really important point. It's not specifically discussed, but that point is the importance of language. The entire 14-page first chapter of the booklet has the words gay and marriage, but always in quotations when referring to homosexuals. Definitions are important. The word gay means happy. The word marriage means a union between one man and one woman. We must not be fooled into allowing a radical revolution to steal these words. We shouldn't be using the word gay unless you're literally talking about being happy. It shouldn't refer to homosexuals. This is a topic that really does strike me personally. On June 26, 2013, the Supreme Court of the United States struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. This was a 1996 federal law that defined marriage as being between a man and a woman. I married Anya exactly 3 years later in 2016. June 26, 2016, and the Supreme Court ruling 3 years before was on my mind even as I walked down the aisle, even as I watched my wife get brought down the aisle. We were celebrating traditional marriage on the anniversary of a day that struck marriage down in the United States. This is a subject that shows the danger of evolving views. This is the liberal, left-leaning way of thinking. Consider the issue of abortion. Just a matter of less than 100 years ago, abortion was once never even considered a possibility. Never did human beings conceive that they could terminate a pregnancy, as it is politely called, or murder their unborn, as is a more realistic description. Never would people have thought that they could do something like that. Then, when abortion was made an option, it was still commonly thought of as abhorrent. But then in the 90s, former U.S. President or then U.S. President Bill Clinton said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Fast forward to today, and his wife Hillary Clinton is pushing for partial birth abortion. That means when the baby is partway out of the womb, out in the open air, you can still kill that child. How has the issue of marriage evolved over the years? Well, marriage is something that has existed from the very moment of the first man and woman. And the Bible brings that out. Adam and Eve were married by God. Even former President Barack Obama used to believe that the traditional definition of marriage was correct, but he later changed his mind. So doesn't this show a dangerous tendency of human beings? How over the years, as time goes on, we might think that we've grown in knowledge. We have more understanding now, and so we can change our beliefs on fundamental issues like these. Clearly, human beings aren't experts about what is right and what is wrong. Our views can change drastically almost overnight. But the cold, hard reality is that the truth does not. Chapter 2 of the Redefining Family booklet is titled Questions That Demand Answers. So if you read through chapter 1, you will notice that there isn't a biblical scripture even referenced in that entire 14-page chapter. This is a booklet that has mass appeal. It reaches out to every reader, to wherever they are on the subject currently, and tries to draw them in. And then gradually, chapter by chapter, it brings out God's view on the issue. Chapter 1 shows that we have rushed into acceptance of alternative forms of family, and it just questions that in chapter 2 and beyond. Should we fundamentally change the institution of marriage? Should we accept certain lifestyles? Now, there's a very huge difference between accepting or not accepting a lifestyle and then actively loving it or actively hating it. You can disagree with someone's lifestyle and not actively persecute and hate that person. You know, I disagree with certain people who like different sports teams from me. It doesn't mean I hate that person. That would be silly. Sometimes, obviously this is a much more important issue, but sometimes you can disagree with what other people believe and not have that spirit of murder in your heart toward them, even though this radical revolutionary movement would try to say otherwise. They actually have equated Christians with murderers for disagreeing with the homosexual lifestyle. But let's ask these questions that demand answers, as chapter 2 of the Redefining Family booklet brings out. Why male and female? This would require us to look at the question of evolution. If we were just randomly developed over the course of billions of years by evolutionary processes, how could we have been randomly separated into two biological genders? Not just humans, but basically every species in existence. And how could all of us, every living thing out there almost, be dependent on one another for procreation? Why marriage? Well, let's look at page 16 for a quote here. It reads, "It is mankind's most universal and enduring institution. It is on the short list of what anthropologists call human universals, those features of culture for which there are no known exceptions. More than any other aspect of human behavior, marriage spreads across continental, national, governmental, ethnic, cultural, lingual, historical, religious, and all other societal lines. It's more universal than race, religion, language, or even law. Whether you're in Shanghai or Sao Paulo, Mumbai or Moscow, Dubai or Dallas, whether it's 21st century North America, first century Asia Minor, or ancient Asia, you see the same fundamental institution dominating society, marriage. Variations such as polygamy have existed in some societies, but they are extremely rare. Around the world, from the beginning of our history, human beings have shared this one dominating, foundational institution. A man and woman committing themselves to a lifelong exclusive relationship and raising the next generation within that relationship. So is marriage just something that we all do because it's existed for a really long time? Like I mentioned earlier, the Bible says that marriage did start with the very first two humans God created. Marriage is no doubt a biblical institution. No other book besides the Bible can give you a definitive starting point for marriage. Shouldn't we operate within marriage the way the Bible instructs? If this is the one book that has any authority on the subject, that has any answers to the prevailing questions about marriage, shouldn't we listen? Shouldn't we give it a chance and see what it has to say? Let's look at pages 19 and 20 of the booklet for another quick quote here. This is Mr. Hilliker writing in the Redefining Family booklet. Be honest. We have been increasingly running our marriages and families according to our own ideas and based on our own assumptions and have a lot of anguish to show for it. Many people have concluded that the problem is inherent in marriage itself. Meanwhile, advocates of same-sex marriage are picking up the broken shards of what marriage represents and gluing them together in a different way. They assume they know what it is about and how to make it work. These assumptions must be carefully examined. They need to be challenged. Considering our failures, surely some humility is in order. That's right. What authority do we really have when we see marriage being destroyed by so many different problems? If marriage were stronger today, if it weren't racked by problems like adultery and fornication and divorce, if fathers and mothers remained in the house to properly raise their children, if marriages weren't falling apart at a rate of over 50% here in America, would people be so open to new forms of family? If marriage across the board seemed like it was having great success, would we really be searching for alternatives? But marriage itself is not to blame. There are great examples of marriages, not just in the Bible and in history, but today. Plenty of people I personally know have set a wonderful example of how to run a marriage the right way, which is God's way. Marriages today are only a disaster because the how-to guide to marriage, the Bible, has been rejected. People don't know where marriage came from, so they think of marriage as merely a tradition to be upheld or changed. Either way, whether you agree with marriage or you don't, if you don't understand where marriage comes from, what's the point of fighting about it anyway? Really, we have to understand the deep background and how God Himself established marriage, or else we won't fight for it. We won't try to preserve it. We will allow the definition itself to be changed. We've already seen that happen in the U.S. Without understanding the biblical origin and the true depth of marriage, society has been open to overthrowing this institution entirely. That's what happens even among those who love this institution of marriage and think it is worthwhile, if they don't truly understand where it comes from and who has blessed this institution, they aren't going to fight for it as much as they should, and they are going to compromise. You see that all over in society. This is not even a battleground anymore over homosexuality and other alternative types of family. It's something that everyone has compromised on. And maybe they wouldn't have if they understood the beauty of marriage like they should. Chapter 3 of the Redefining Family booklet is titled, Why Family? Not a question, an exclamation. And this is where we move from asking the big questions to answering the big questions. There's only so much value to sitting around and pondering deep questions. If we don't get to the answers, it's almost like we wasted our time. And the answers only come from one place, the Bible. This chapter covers the multitude of benefits to children of two biological parent households, especially. So it's great to be lawfully married and raising children, but even more so if the two parents are physically and biologically the actual parents of those children. The benefits seem to multiply the more closely we stick to the biblical model for marriage. Our children are blessed when we observe and uphold marriage the right way. Let's look at page 26 of this booklet for another quote. And again, this is another way of appealing to everyone who might read this booklet, regardless of your personal thoughts on the matter. Page 26. Perhaps you don't put a lot of stock in the Bible, but this is the one book that actually dares to claim to have been directly inspired by the being who engineered your body, designed your reproductive system, enabled you to love and commit to a spouse, and gave you the ability to participate in creating brand new human beings. It contains the historical chronicle of his creating the marriage institution. It records the laws he composed to guide us on how to make it work. It is filled with inspired examples, both positive and negative, from which he means for us to draw practical lessons. It has specific advice on how to gain all the benefits, physical and spiritual, that God intended us to receive from it. Isn't it worth looking into compared to all the other supposed answers out there? That's a strong point. It's hard for anyone to refute that point. Only the Bible declares to be written by the creator of the universe, the creator of you, yourself. You can read a million self-help books, and none of them will be outlandish enough to claim to be actually written by your creator. Human beings have maybe some valuable experiences to share, but what can we really say compared to the God who created us? That's by definition always the case. Anyone who creates something is going to know a lot more about it than someone else who just has experience with that object. You know, if someone created the television, for example, he's going to know a lot more about how it works than one of us who buys it and just plays around with the remote and learns a few of the features. So obviously, the creator is going to have a lot more authority on the issue, have a lot more to teach us about it. That's true with marriage. God claims to have established marriage and created us to participate in it. So why not look into what he says? Why not prove whether God really did create us, like we've done in this program and earlier episodes? Why not prove whether the Bible is God's inspired word? And why not prove whether what he says about marriage actually works? Like I mentioned earlier in that other quote, we failed so many times trying to do it by ourselves. At what point will we just listen to our Creator, about how to do this. This chapter, chapter 3 of the Redefining Family booklet titled Why Family, is so beautiful and inspiring because it's talking about a multitude of physical and spiritual parallels. God is a father and son relationship, two God beings. Your Bible also talks about Jesus Christ, the Son, one day marrying the one true church. And your Bible also talks about all humanity one day being born as children into the God family. We've covered this a little bit in other episodes too, but the whole inspiring part of marriage is just that it's a direct parallel to the God family, a spiritual family, the ultimate family that we'll all have a chance to be a part of one day. That's why there are different roles within the family too. You have a father and a mother. The father is meant to be the head of the household. The mother has a very important role that society today ridicules, but it's extremely important. And the children benefit when the parents do it right. There's even one of the Ten Commandments that talks about children honoring their father and their mother. That gives you a huge insight into the way that God expects our families to be set up. The father to his children in a family represents God the Father. In some ways, I have a year and a half year old daughter, and sometimes she points her finger at me and she'll babble some words, and I get the impression she's trying to talk back to me about something I had just told her to do. And personally, I wouldn't mind that much being disrespected like that. She has a way of being cute even whenever she's acting up. But I understand that my role helps Loma one day connect with God the Father. And I can't possibly let her disrespect me, because then she'll think that she can go through life disrespecting her Creator as well. There is a direct parallel in physical family to the spiritual family. And it is so beautiful. It is so inspiring. Like I said, I know so many people who have done it the right way and have been wonderful inspirations to me and to my family. Chapter 4 of this booklet is talking about the enemy of family. So God is incredibly passionate about family. He loves it. He wants us to experience it in this life so that we can prepare for family in the next life. But there is an enemy. If we lived in a world without any evil spirit influences, if Satan the devil and his millions of demons didn't exist, you would not see human beings trying to destroy marriage. It wouldn't happen. We would all have the common sense understanding that marriage is beneficial, even just on a physical level, even if we didn't understand the spiritual purpose for it. But Satan is a master of the airwaves, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 2. He is a master at getting into our moods and our emotions and our feelings and causing us to behave in an irrational, self-destructive manner. He is the God of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 brings out. And that's the reason for this attack on marriage today. Chapter 5 is titled, It Doesn't Affect Me. This chapter shows that we can't just have a shoulder shrug mentality when it comes to people trying to undermine marriage. We can't just quietly go about our own lives letting marriage be degraded like this. At least in our personal lives and in the lives of those around us, we must uphold marriage. We must teach about how marriage should work and what its purpose is beyond this physical life. We can't come to accept it, because if we start to accept this radical revolution, well, we'll lose our vision of what our future holds. And then chapter 6 of this booklet talks about all men to be saved. God doesn't hate homosexuals or any other sinners. We all sin. We all have our issues. But he does hate the sins themselves. And all of those sins will soon be wiped out. We'll have to repent of them if we want to have any future beyond this physical life. As you've noticed, I've barely even covered these last three chapters. I don't want to spoil the entire booklet for you. Again, this is the Redefining Family booklet. You can find it at thetrumpet.com. And it just makes us think about family and our priorities in this area. So I definitely encourage you to study this booklet to understand why you believe what you do when it comes to marriage. Well, I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf. Please tune in next Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.